I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-860-6565. That's 800-860-6565. 800-860-6565. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
We told you moments ago about Vice President Mike Pence addressing the Israeli Knesset a short time ago. He also, in that address, announced that it's true that the U.S. Embassy in Israel will be moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in 2019, which is earlier than originally planned. The White House hitting back at GOP Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina for his comments in which he called White House aide Stephen Miller, quote, an outlier on immigration. The White House using the same phrase to describe Graham's stance. White House spokesman Hogan Gidley saying in a statement, according to several reports, quote, as long as Senator Graham chooses to support legislation that sides with people in the country illegally and unlawfully instead of our own American citizens, we're going nowhere. He's been an outlier for years. 18 people, including 14 foreign nationals, now confirmed dead in a terrorist attack on the Intercontinental Hotel in Kabul, Afghanistan, over the weekend, for which the Taliban's claim responsibility. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
This is a really bad season.
That's the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, saying only Hawaii has escaped a very bad year when it comes to the flu.
And if you look at it, comparing it over the last 10 years or so, this is really one of the worst seasons we've had. This is the first time where at any given time, if you take a snapshot, essentially the whole country is having widespread activity.
Dr. Fauci, speaking on Fox News, says it is not too late to get your flu shot, although the shot that's out this year has not been terribly effective on the foremost strain that's been making the rounds. The 2018 Screen Actors Guild Awards are awarded last night. The big SAG winner this year, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which won Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture, and Frances McDormand, the star, landing Outstanding Performance, or that's Performance, by a Female in a Leading Role for her work in the project, and Sam Rockwell winning Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Supporting Role for his work in the movie. On the TV side, This Is Us landed Outstanding Performance by an ensemble in a drama. And a new report shows the world's richest 1% banked more than 80% of the wealth created last year. That, according to the Global Confederation of Charitable Organizations, Oxfam International, it says half the people on Earth saw no increase in wealth at all last year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick.
Home, sweet home.
All right, local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're about 48 degrees outside our studio here. Today, patchy drizzle and fog, cloudy with a high near 52. Tonight, showers likely early in the morning, low in the upper 30s. Tuesday, definitely some rain, possibly thunderstorms. High when probably reaching the upper 50s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low in the 30s. Sunny on Wednesday, high in the 40s. Cloudy on the overnight Wednesday, sunny again Thursday, and looks like Friday. Highs will run into the mid to upper 30s. Lows in the 20s overnight. Not looking at precipitation until possibly Sunday again. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Chef Bill's Table here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Getting together live on Mondays and forever after in the archives. It's been a quick month here. We missed a couple of live shows with the New Year's Day and with Martin Luther King Day. So we're back. And, of course, upcoming food holiday, which we can get more into next week. Game Day, Super Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. Another big home party day. Not a good day for restaurants except for takeout orders, which you usually get plenty of them at Jake's. Of course, there are chicken tenders reign supreme on that day. Everybody likes wings, which we have. We have great wings also, but since we've opened the real chicken tenderloins too. They're not just chicken strips cut out of a big chicken breast. They're the actual tenderloins. Always use them. We always will. And lightly coated, not heavily breaded. And seems to be, if you're on your way somewhere or you're entertaining at home, don't forget to pick up some tenders. We have our great Gorgonzola dressing, which is a better than an off-the-shelf blue cheese, I will say. Make it ourselves. You know, it's a little more expensive, but we think it's worth it. So, and the mac and cheese is the other. It seems to be the combination. If you're going somewhere, grab 50 tenders and a pan of mac and cheese, and you'll be a hero. It's funny, on the way here today, I heard on the radio an advertisement for frozen yogurt robots that you can franchise now. And I'm sure there are food robots out there. You see them at rest stops, things that dispense anything from coffee and hot chocolate, of course, on the simple level up to French fries and some other things that the machine will cook the product and dispense it into a container. You just put some money or swipe your card. I mean, think about it. Even soda machines are robots in a way, right? You swipe your card and you get your beverage, the snack machines, but it seems to be kind of working its way. And I've seen salad robots where there'll be a bunch of ingredients, maybe three or four dozen ingredients, the greens, all the garnishes, the dressings, and you simply punch in what you want, and it dispenses the ingredients into a bowl, and there you have it. Now, anybody, I don't think it's going to replace humans in the food service arena, but it will provide different jobs. You still need humans, of course, to maintain the machines, clean them. Sanitation is going to be very important, and to fill the machines with the ingredients. But it's just at service time, it's that one last task of you know, for quick food, I know there are machines out there that flip burgers, and they're trying to program things that simulate a chef's dexterity in sauteing. But you need feedback. You need to, you know, we cook with our senses. And I think that's where it's going to be difficult to replicate what we do as chefs. Some of the automated procedures for very routine items is machines that'll flip a bunch of burgers at once, and that's fine. But you still need some, I know in restaurants, hospitality is still key. And maybe we as the professionals can focus more on that than some of the routine tasks. We can provide a better experience. It's not that the robots are going to replace workers. The workers will be doing different work and hopefully better. So we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, we're still cooking, right? January's National Soup Month, among many other. There's usually a celebration every day. I think this week, I think yesterday might have been Clam Chowder Day. There's Lobster Thermidor this week. There's always something. There's something every day. And each month has several things that it's noted for. But soup, and we think, you know, again, well, not just the Northeast, it's been cold anyway. A good pot of soup is always welcome. Probably the hardest thing, of course, is if you like homemade stock, is making your stock or your broth. Fortunately, there are many broths out there that can be purchased. There's dried powder, which is going to be very salty, but advantage is it doesn't take up a lot of space. You can get canned or in the sterile containers. I'm sure there's frozen out there. There's concentrates, many ways to do it. But truthfully, I mean, especially something like fish or chicken stock does not take that long to make, and the materials to use it are very inexpensive. It's just time. So if you're home, I know one of our hosts at the restaurant, the mom, she's got to cook for a few kids, but she has a sports schedules, all these things. So she takes one day a week, and she has her shopping, and she just says, I'm going to spend 6 to 8 hours in the kitchen. And she prepares food, some to be just chilled for, you know, up to 2 or 3 days later. And then other meals she puts in the aluminum pans and puts them in. She has a good freezer. And she has something so when your schedule is tight, you take something out of the freezer, either defrost it, you know, in the morning, put it in the fridge or the night before, or just be able to put it right in the oven. Soups, slurries, meatballs, casseroles, things like that that can be easily reheated. But it saves a lot of money. Again, it's time, but while you're in the kitchen, you know, if you have something in the oven or a pot boiling away, you might as well accomplish some other things. So that was her solution. But making soup also is, it's therapeutic. First of all, it makes the house smell good. Just don't burn it, right? Don't burn the bean soup. That doesn't smell good. But if you're making your own broth, of course, you've got some time there where you could prep your other ingredients. If you're not making your own broth, it's fine. No sin in that. Just watch the salt content when you season your soup. And some soups don't even need a flavored broth. If you're putting some proteins already in there or enough vegetables, you might not even miss not having a meat broth. It's funny now, looking at the teams for the big game. You got Philadelphia, New England, of course. Philadelphia, the pepper pot soup, kind of one that, of course, we're Philadelphia is known for, probably fed the troops during the Revolution, made with tripe from the stomach lining from the cow. And some people, I don't like that, or I don't know. It's you got to simmer it. It's like anything else. It's a texture. It's kind of an unusual texture, and it is a unique flavor. It doesn't taste like game or anything like that. But the menudo, the Mexican and Central, even South Americans. You know, the countries where more of the products are used, the byproduct we call them. But also, you could make a pepper pot with just some nice beef, either shoulder, good, or even knuckle, the shank. My mother used to get the soup bones, they call them. It looks like an ossobuco, but off the cow. It's pretty good sized. And it's tough meat that has to be simmered for a long time. But You get the gelatin from the bone and makes a really nice, rich broth. But the pepper pot was spicy, obviously. Some vegetables and maybe some little macaroni dumplings in there, spetzel. If you're looking to do something from Philly, that would probably be the one. Or the turtle soup, which now there is mock turtle soup. I guess, you know, you again make it flavored the same way, but maybe not use the turtle meat. That's up to you. But pepper pot was one of the early soups that Campbell's put out. One of their early on, because, of course, the plant was down near Camden there. And, yeah, that was one of their big soups that probably discontinued by now, but that was early on. That was one of their big sellers. We've got to break for a couple of words here from sponsors, and then we're gonna walk through a few what I think are decent soup recipes. And maybe on your, whether you're entertaining or not, it might be worthwhile to fire up a pot of soup. But these would be very good also, I think, for game day. Sometimes we tend to overdo the proteins and overdo maybe too many of the cheeses and things like that. Rich foods, maybe something like a nice hearty soup would help take the edge off. And it's something that could hold up through, you know, you put it in your slow cooker, your crock pot or whatever, and keep it warm and you have it throughout the game. We'll be back at the table in a couple of minutes. Are you gathering up the tea?
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table. So, Pepper Pot. Oh, it's funny. Even Bookbinders, the old seafood restaurant for years down there, they sold a version of Pepper Pot. Of course, it had fish in it. But I guess you can adapt any way you like. I believe in Guyana, it's kind of a national dish also. Again, different meats would go in it, but good spices, put some chilies in there. Good in the wintertime. So find a version if you like it. It's could be something that you feature. But chowder, of course, comes to mind. Chowder is always good. At the restaurant, we have to feature it most every weekend. It's very popular, the New England style. Manhattan is good more in the summer. You want something a little bit lighter. I know it... Mirror Lake Inn, when I worked up there, our chowder, we had it on every day. It's kind of our house soup, and we didn't put potatoes in it, when I went there, I thought it was strange, but it actually made sense for a restaurant, because what happens, the soup sits warm, or hot, rather, in the bain-marie, and after a while, the potatoes can break down, and the soup gets too thick, and you don't have the texture of the potatoes. So ours we made without, was, I guess you could call it like more of a cream of clam soup. It's very good. Everybody liked it. And I guess it would be the, if you're going to put crackers in it anyway, I guess nobody missed the potatoes. But that, anyway, that worked for us. But a chowder, I think of potatoes. And we didn't, we also didn't put bacon in ours, any smoked pork. It was strictly a seafood soup. But the salt pork or bacon or ham or something like that, bacon's always good in a chowder. And if you're going to do that, you dice your bacon and get it cooked first, do it slowly so the fat renders out, and then just as it gets crispy, you can take it out with a slotted spoon, drain it, and then use that fat to saute your onions. And if you're going to thicken the soup, you can put a little flour in there to make a light roux, or not. Then that's the other, sometimes I think we tend, and I know it's, we do it in restaurants, it's kind of what the guests expect, the chowder to be fairly thick, but really it doesn't need to be too thick, not like a bisque or a cream of vegetable soup. And if you use whole milk instead of 2%, you're probably, with the potatoes and the starch coming off the potatoes, I think that's probably key. If you have potatoes, if you start with your potatoes and your milk, you have your bacon and onions in there. They're the bacon fat with the onions, but you simmer your potatoes in the milk and then add your seafood. And you might find that you don't even need any clam juice or broth in there. Now, if you're doing a clam chowder, of course, if you're using fresh clams, you would steam them and then strain that broth and use it. It's nice, a nice flavor and a little salt in there. But if you're making fish, which you could cube up swordfish, you could cube up good cod or haddock in pieces. And what you do is, when you have your diced onions, say you're starting with bacon, so you have your bacon fat there, and saute some onions, a little celery if you like, not necessary, but celery does help flavor it. You could even use a little celery root if you like, if you don't want the, we call it no strings attached, right? And you're seasoning little some thyme and bay leaf. I like a dash of Lee and Perrins in there also. Save some fresh chopped parsley for the end. Nice finish to it. But you simmer some potatoes in there. I've got three large onions. I would take, you know, maybe three large potatoes also and peel them and cube them, you know, not too small. But simmer that in the milk till the potatoes are almost done. And then you can add your fish. You don't want to cook the fish too long. Now, clams, if you're using the canned chopped clams, that's fine. But if you're using the fresh ones, I would steam them. I would add them at the end. But you just simmer your fish in the potatoes and the milk. A couple of pounds of fish fillets, a pound of shrimp if you like, or some clams. If you do, especially with shrimp, if you're doing, they have to go in right at the end. And you don't want this soup to sit very, very hot. You want it safe. You have to have it at 160 degrees, but you don't want to keep boiling and boiling it. You don't want the fish to get overcooked. So this way you've got a soup that's kind of like a meal, but not really thick. Now, if you do want it a little bit thick, we've done potato starch, which works well. You mix that with a little bit of canola oil and thicken that as the soup is simmering. It thickens right away. It doesn't leave you that floury taste. You don't have to worry about cooking out a roux. And it's kind of, you know, it's, well, it's gluten-free also. We've been using that a lot in our soups lately. Instead of flour, we're using potato starch or even just cooking a couple of whole potatoes along with vegetables and then puree it. And it adds that thickness that you want, but not that sometimes the flour gets a little bit heavy on the palate, a little pasty. If you don't want the bacon in there, but you like the smoke flavor, what I've done is at the end when you're putting your fish in is add a little bit of chopped smoked salmon if you want to keep it strictly seafood. Adds a nice touch. It's got the nice orange color it puts in there and great flavor. I know when I worked in an Italian restaurant, we had chowder, and I would put the smoked salmon in it. And also instead of potatoes, I would do little pasta shells. Now, again, they don't hold up that long. We were a little more fancy place where the soups were not sitting all day in a steam table. But the little shells in there are something a little bit different if you like pasta in your soup instead of potatoes. Put a nice chowder. Another take on that, which is a favorite of my family's, is a sausage and potato soup. It's a cream soup, puree, if you will. And you could kind of call it sausage chowder. So say you don't want seafood. And this could be made with any kind of sausage or even ham. But the procedure that I use, I've been lately, I like the Yukon Gold potatoes for this. It started as a soup restaurant. We had baked potatoes left over all the time, and we had cooked sausage. It was an Italian restaurant. We used to brown some sausage patties when we made our gravy, if you will, with tomato sauce. So we always had some cooked sausage. We always had cooked potatoes. And came up with a soup as a way to use these products, and it turned out to be a star. So what I do is, let's say, to make a good-sized batch. So I get a five-pound bag of Yukon Gold potatoes, and half of them I peel and just slice, and the other half I peel and dice into pieces like you would see in a soup. The diced potatoes I cook on the side separately till they're just done. They get added to the soup at the end, so they maintain their texture. And even the water that you cook them in, just enough water to cover, that water will be starchy and it will help thicken the soup. So very simple soup. It starts with chopped onion. And the sausage, again, if you like your regular Italian sweet, you like hot, basil, parsley sometimes. I'll use, you know, one of those fancier ones. But what I'll do is I'll brown the sausage. And if it's a rope sausage, just brown the whole rope and cut it up later. If they're links, just brown them. You get them cooked. You could roast them in the oven if you like, but oftentimes I'll do it right in the soup pot with a little bit of butter or oil. And that flavored oil is what I saute my onions in, just like when you're making a chowder with the bacon, right?
If I saw you
So we have our sausage done. I remove the sausage from the pan. Then I saute the onion. As the onion's cooking, I add some white wine. And I really don't put garlic in this one. You could. But if you do add it early on, don't add too much. You just want maybe a little of that perfume in there. Once the onions are soft, you don't want them to brown too much. You want them soft. You have the white wine, chicken broth, and the sliced potatoes. So you want enough chicken broth to cover the sliced potatoes that you have. And you're going to simmer those until the potatoes are totally soft. If you need to add a little bit more water, you want some broth there. And this cooked potatoes that you have, you're going to puree. Now, you can do it in a food processor. You can do it in a blender. I use the blender stick, much easier. Puree it right in the pot, and you're pureeing the onion also. So you've got that. You don't have chunks of onion floating. You just get a nice, oniony potato puree. And at this point, it's going to look fairly thick, but we now have to thin it out with, you could use milk, you could use half and half, or you could use heavy cream. Bring it to the consistency you want, and the seasoning is simply Worcestershire sauce and a little black pepper if you need it. You have fresh chopped parsley, and after the cream comes to a simmer, I throw in a handful of Parmesan cheese. So this is it's a pretty hearty soup. And you can call it sausage and potato, you can call it sausage chowder, but if you don't want Italian sausage, a smoked sausage would be great in there, a kielbasa, or kind of, you know, you want a bratwurst in there, anything you have. But the sausage and potato, it's a hearty soup, and if you want to, you know, it's almost like a mashed potato side dish, right? It's and you don't have any, again, no flour in there. It's thickened up with the pureed potatoes. Say the Yukons have a good flavor, that nice golden color, and it could be a good soup for your repertoire. You could do a quick version of it simply by making, you could make a thickened broth and add some cream and some potatoes and sausage. You know, that's another way to do it. But we'll talk about cream of any vegetable soup when we come back. Just to, probably a good basic thing to have, in, again, in your repertoire, your toolbox, whatever you want to call it. A way to maybe sometimes use up some vegetables that you have. That's what we used to do in the hotels. We'll be back at the table in a couple of minutes. We've got to do a news break here, and we'll be back at the table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. Senate with a big vote now scheduled at noon Eastern time today, hoping to end the government shutdown, which is into its third day now, its first business day since beginning back on Saturday. The U.S. Senate getting back into session this morning as Republicans and Democrats are negotiating behind the scenes on a GOP plan which would extend the government funding until February 8th. That, as a White House official says, Democrats should drop their insistence on solving the so-called DACA dilemma now.
If the Democrats would take off the table an unrelated issue that becomes ripe in March, then we can reopen the government if the Democrats would just do that.
Presidential Advisor Kellyanne Conway speaking there on Fox News this morning. There's been a shooting in Ellis County, Texas this morning at Italy High School. Authorities say a girl was shot. The shooter's in custody. No word on the victim's condition. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generics.
You know, when the Israelites got to the desert, they were given manna from heaven. Well, we may not have manna, but we do have Numana. In these uncertain times, become food independent with Numana's long-term storable food. Healthy, nutritious, dense meals, organic, non-GMO, tastes great and lasts for over 25 years. Oh, and gluten-free is available. Order now and get 20% off, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just use promo code WAR. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775, or go to Numana.com.
at the table here at Chef Bill's Table, making soup, right? Now, cream of vegetable, any vegetable. And there's a couple of ways to approach this. With the, of course, root vegetables in the fall and winter, these purees are relatively easy. The vegetables are, even if they're not that starchy, they still have a good thickness to them. They cook up softly. You don't have to worry. I mean, once they're peeled, you know, and they're inexpensive also, but cook them fully and puree them, and then you can add broth or dairy and whatever seasoning you like, and it's just a step up from, say, a mash, a side dish. So, say, you know, you got butternut squash that you're serving as a vegetable, and if you have some left, you could easily turn it into soup. Maybe add a little bit of different seasoning to it, some broth, some dairy, and you've got it. And you don't need dairy if you don't want it. It does make it a little bit richer, but usually these vegetables, especially the root vegetables, they're pretty good on their own. I know we've done the five vegetable puree. Sweet potatoes always help when you're doing these. Gives that nice color also. But other vegetables, I don't care, you know, broccoli, asparagus, spinach, you know, cauliflower. We always had these soups in hotels. You know, when I worked in resort hotels, you'd have anywhere from 3 to 5 soups on every meal. Good training. I worked at the Lake Placid Club, so you're always had a consomme. We made the course from the homemade stock and then clarify it, and there would be some kind of garnish with that, whether it was chicken or beef consomme or even beef tea, one of those type of things. And then we always had a hearty soup. We always had a cream soup. Could have another brothy type soup like an onion or, you know, minestrone would be the hearty type. But we would have, in the summertime, you'd have a couple of cold soups on. That's sometimes, and that, those were good first courses for people. The meals were included in their hotel plan, and that was, you know, it wasn't like a lot of, I mean, there were some other first courses in the garde-manger, but it wasn't like today when people sit down and they order a plate of calamari or some chicken wings or something to start off the meal. Started with soup. And after all, that's usually a good test of a restaurant if the soups. We see that at Jake's, some, you know, if the soups are, split pea is always a winner, sherry mushroom chowder. You know, certain soups just people go for. And then there's other ones like, it's sometimes not that exciting. We try to keep it interesting, but anyway, so the one hotel, you know, one of the soups was always whatever vegetable we had, obviously some left from the night before, from dinner service, or if you didn't have any, just, you know, start fresh. Like, say you want to make a good cream of broccoli. That seems to be a popular one and one that kind of can get screwed up too. A lot of times people put a lot of cheese in it, maybe not that much broccoli, it's over-thickened. Spinach, a nice puree, little nutmeg in there. I mean, there's some nice things you can do with these vegetable purees, but it's not just grinding up a vegetable and adding some broth and some cream. We would always start with a mirepoix, meaning your onions, carrots, and celery. Those are diced up. Those got sautéed along with whatever the base vegetable was going to be. Sauté it first, kind of glazes it, kind of sets the color. Then we would add, depending you on the vegetable, you might have to add a little bit of flour. Again, you could use potato starch later on to thicken this. But a little bit of flour in there, and then our broth. And that would simmer for a long time until the vegetables were all cooked. So it wasn't really like a gravy. It wasn't really even a sauce. A little thinner than that. Just a little bit of thickener in there, because we're going to puree this later and then add our cream. So say you've got two cups of a base vegetable, and you could even, I mean, if you had to, in the case of broccoli or even peas if you want. I mean, a split pea soup is fine, but a fresh pea soup, you know, done this way, you could do it. asparagus, frozen vegetables. 2 cups of a base vegetable, 4 cups of either chicken or vegetable broth, and then a cup of dairy or cream. Light cream would be okay. Heavy cream if you want a little bit richer, but light cream is fine. So we have our vegetable mixture cooking away with the mirepoix, and then we had what was called a vertical cutter, which is the commercial version of a food processor. Same idea. It was a bowl with a blade in it, but it would hold a lot of stuff. So we'd put that mixture in there. Now, if you had any bay leaf or something in there, of course, you'd want to remove that before you do this, but we would puree it. We would heat up some light cream, and depending on the vegetable, say if it was cream of celery, if you used branch celery, then you'd probably want to strain it because of the strings. If you used celery root, wouldn't be necessary. But we would normally strain it. Again, it was Lake Placid Club, so you had to have, you know, a little bit of elegance to it. So you had the strong flavored vegetable base, and then you added your cream and corrected the seasoning, and that was it.
In we go, leaning on faith.
So similar procedure. Once you got that procedure down, you could really turn anything into a cream of any vegetable soup. Now, another quick way, some people, you know, would make a bechamel, a white sauce, and then add the vegetables and things. But I really think you don't want this too thick. And especially a lot of times when you're serving soup, you got crackers, you have bread, you got croutons, other things like that. So I think sometimes we tend to over-thicken on some of these soups. Another lighter version of this, one of my sous chefs in a hotel, his Italian family, and his mother always had soup on the table. And he would make these soups. Of course, it was summertime, so you want something, not always a cream soup. It was the same kind of idea. You know, you have your broth. He would have some kind of base vegetable, and you start again with your sofrito or mirepoix, some, you know, your nice small diced aromatic vegetables. Let's say, you know, you take cauliflower, and so you have your at least onion and celery, maybe some carrots if you want. And he would normally throw a little garlic in there. And then you have your base vegetable. You saute that, add your broth. And then at the end would come some kind of pasta, a soup pasta, whether you put in orzo, which you need a pepe, you know, some kind of small or even thin noodles if you like at the end. But usually a small soup pasta would go in there. And you would cook that pasta right in with the broth. So you got your... Yeah, that little bit of starch would come off the pasta. And so it gave it not thick like a cream soup, but it would give it a little bit of viscosity. So kind of like so the vegetables would float in there. Or, you know, kind of swim, I guess you'd say. They're at all different levels instead of just all floating on the top. I remember when I learned how to make onion soup, that was the Swiss second cook told me that. He says, you want the onions to swim. So when we would saute the onions, we always put a little flour in with the caramelized onions. So the soup, again, was not thick like you'd think of as a cream soup, but just a little bit of viscosity so the onions would kind of not all float to the top. And that's just, you know, for presentation, just for, you know, it's you're not tasting the flour, you're cooking it out fully. So, you know, that little bit in there, that's what we would do. But these vegetable soups were great because you could make them in about 20 minutes. And if you wanted to fortify them further, say you had escarole or you had spinach or something, you make the little, like a stracciatella. You just take an egg or two and beat the egg with a little cheese in there. And like an egg drop soup, as the broth is boiling, kind of drizzle in that egg. And it gets nice and fluffed up there. I know one of our favorites used to be veal and asparagus in the spring. Maybe a cubed veal and saute that. Simmer it for a while, asparagus, and then finish it with the egg and cheese batter, the stracciatella. Very nice, elegant soup. Again, signifying spring, veal, asparagus, eggs. That was kind of the way we did it. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table. We're going to look. Oh, yeah, I think a black bean soup would be good for a party because you can just like a chili, right? You can have a lot of neat garnishes with it. We'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table, making soup. So I think most people like to have a good chili or a stew. The black bean soup is something you can be a little bit versatile with. You can make it vegetarian if you want, or you can use sausage, ham, almost anything. A good smoked product works well in there. And you can offer some garnishes. The black bean soup is a good base, and then depending on your flavoring, I mean, I've used red wine in it, or finished with a little red wine vinegar. Normally, so, you know, good southwestern flavors work well. Chilies, cumin, oregano, all those kind of things do very well with the black bean. You can soak the beans or not. I normally don't. of something. If your water is very hard, the hard water will cause the beans to stay firm. A little bit of, if there's some acid in there in the water, if you don't really know your the chemical makeup of your tap water, sometimes, you know, if you're having trouble with bean soups, that could be part of the problem. I know the quick softening method, we used to put a little baking soda in there, and that will kind of have the opposite effect. That'll soften things up. You can't cook it in the baking soda water, but that was always that quick, bring it to a boil. But that, you know, it's chemistry. You want to break down the cell walls a little bit. You don't, like in a black bean salad, you want the beans to stay kind of, they're tender, but they want them to hold their shape. In a soup, you want a little bit creamy. Some people puree some of the beans. If you cook them properly and cook them long enough, it should they should, you know, you don't want it to be a straight puree. You want some beans floating around. Sometimes you might puree, you know, 20-25% of the soup just to give the soup some body, but you don't want it like baked beans. You don't want it that thick. It's still considered a soup. So, then you have to be careful of things like wine, even onions, things like that, that could add some acid. So what we do is we boil the beans separately and do the vegetables in another pan. Again, there's sofrito, whatever term you want to use, the mirepoix. Have your beans boiling away. If you want to flavor them with a couple of cloves of garlic or maybe, you know, a half an onion in the water, a bay leaf, that's fine. But you start the beans, you know, start them in cold water, and you cook them until they're tender. It could take an hour and a half, could take 2 hours, could take longer, depending on, even though they're dried beans, of course, as you said before, if they've been dried for a while, they're going to be really dry. If they're, you know, relatively new, then they will not take as long to cook. Now, again, the trouble, like when you soak them, of course, the water turns dark. You usually have to drain that off and then start with fresh water. I like to start, I mean, when I do white beans, you know, navies, cannellis, any of them, I just start them right off. I don't soak them. Never had any troubles. So you have your beans simmering away. Your vegetables, and what I like to use in black bean soup, besides, instead of green peppers, I like poblanos because some of them are a little spicy. Give it a little bit of heat. The beans will, you know, hold up to it. But you have your onion, your celery, and peppers. Your trinity, I guess, instead of the sofrito. And again, if you put a little poblano pepper in there, very good. But that I would saute separately in a pan. Put your garlic, put your seasonings in there, and get them, you know, fairly well cooked. Then once your beans are cooked to where they're tender, then you can add the vegetables to it. Then if you wanted, if you're using red wine, you could put your red wine with the vegetables. If you're doing, say, for a side dish, Cuban black beans, I would just use onions and garlic and red wine. I wouldn't have maybe some of the others in there. Maybe other vegetables might be a garnish on top. So you combine your vegetables in there. Again, if you're using meat in there, whether you start with a ham hock, whether you have some bacon, you have some sausage, you could use chicken broth, you could use just plain water. The beans will take on, they'll take on a hefty amount of salt, so you don't have to worry about, if you're using a canned broth, it's fine. And simply cook them. The beans are going to start releasing some of their proteins. The soup should start to thicken up a little bit. Be careful with simmering it because you don't want to burn it. It should be in a good heavy bottom pot so it doesn't burn. A stainless steel thin pot for pasta is not going to work for a bean soup. You don't want to, the heat transfer is too efficient. You burn the bottom there. So make sure you're in a good thick pot. And when the beans are tender, vegetables are cooked, you're ready. And then you correct your seasoning. Now, if you want them, if it looks a little bit too brothy, you can use your blender stick. Just put it there, you know, a couple of bursts there to puree some of it. Or scoop out a couple of cups of the beans and into your food processor and puree them, add them back into the soup, and then you'll have that, you know, you want it thick but not too thick, but if it seems a little liquidy, you could do that. But usually when the beans are cooked properly and they're cooked all the way, a little tomato product in there doesn't hurt. Again, with the acid in that, you want to add your tomato product toward the end. If you like it spicy, use your chilies and adobo. It's always kind of nice. Or a dash of, I love the Tabasco chipotle. That's almost like a good sauce on its own, just on a chip. But it's a little thicker. It's thicker than the regular Tabasco, but has a very good flavor to it. So, again, season what you want. Now your garnishes. What happens here now, you could make a nice pickled onion. We like the pico that we make with the diced, fine diced red onion, jalapenos, and tomato with cilantro and a little lime juice, salt and pepper. It's not really pico de gallo like a salsa. It's more of a relishy type thing. Diced avocado or sliced avocado, either a sour cream or a crema. Sometimes we combine the two, take avocado and a little sour cream and mayonnaise together, maybe a little lime juice, and you could have a nice sauce that you could drizzle on top of the soup. Some finely minced peppers that are raw, just like if you're garnishing a gazpacho. Some people like shredded cheese. Again, if you've made kind of a little spicy soup, that dairy is going to help. A chopped egg. And finally, if you like to even make it a little more substantial, have some nice steamed rice on the side. Nice white rice with the black bean soup right over top of it, black beans and rice. You know, what's good to that? But that could be a good party idea because you can have that little fixins bar too. You know, and if you wanted to make it vegetarian, you want to put your crumbled bacon or, you know, sautéed sausages or something on the side, all, you know, all well and good. But it could be good for a crowd and good for customizing. Sparkle in your China. Yes, I'll be there. What is happening? What is happening? Going to wind down another hour here at the table and get ready for another big home cooking day. We'll get into that next week at the table. And everybody have a good week. And think of, probably going to be a combination of something you do at home. Your guests might bring something, but usually a little bit of something from your favorite restaurant wouldn't hurt either. Just remember those tenders. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. Senate with a big vote now scheduled at noon Eastern time today, hoping to end the government shutdown, which is into its third day now, its first business day since beginning back on Saturday. The U.S. Senate getting back into session this morning as Republicans and Democrats are negotiating behind the scenes on a GOP plan which would extend the government funding until February 8th. That, as a White House official says, Democrats should drop their insistence on solving the so-called DACA dilemma now.
If the Democrats would take off the table an unrelated issue that becomes ripe in March, then we can reopen the government if the Democrats would just do that.
Presidential Advisor Kellyanne Conway speaking there on Fox News this morning. There's been a shooting in Ellis County, Texas this morning at Italy High School. Authorities say a girl was shot. The shooter's in custody. No word on the victim's condition. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called.
Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't